thank you, and we're happy and grateful, dear friends, to be on the air again with the wonderful gospel of the wonderful grace of God. And there's no better place in the Bible to learn about the dispensation of the grace of God, or the gospel of the grace of God, than in Paul's letter to the Galatians. Last week, I spoke to you briefly on verses 6 and 7, but I haven't finished yet. I want to finish that message today, if you please, if you'll let me do it in two parts. Now, if you have a Bible or New Testament at hand and you're not driving, you may want to get it. It'd be good for you to see for yourself what God says about this in His Word. Looking at Galatians chapter 1, written by the Apostle Paul. Now, before we go on with verse 7, where we left off last week, I wish you'd glance back at verses 5 and 6 for a moment. Verse 5, speaking of God, the Apostle says, "To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." But in verse 6, he says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." What contrast there are in these two passages. In the one, "To whom be glory forever and ever." The other, "I marvel that you're so soon removed." There you have God's constancy, His eternity on the one hand, and man's irresponsibility on the other. How fickle is mankind, including even the children of God. Paul says, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from grace to another gospel." And the professing church still today performs ceremonies and rites and rituals to the wonderful message and program of grace as it is given to us in 13 epistles signed by the pen of the Apostle Paul. They still proclaim the law, the Ten Commandments, the Sermon on the Mount, and the program of the commission given to the 11, rather than the great truths that we find in the epistles to Paul. And when we try to recover these truths and show the difference, we're often asked, "Do you mean that the church has been wrong for 1900 years about this or that doctrine or this practice?" Well, of course it's been wrong in many of its teachings, or it wouldn't be so gripped in confusion and division, would it? The church today is no better than Israel of old, as Israel kept departing from the law of Moses. So the church keeps departing from God's message and program of grace for today, revealed through the Apostle Paul. And this departure began in Paul's own lifetime, beloved, especially among the Galatians, where they questioned his apostleship itself and returned to the law of Moses with all its ceremonies and requirements. And Paul says, "I marvel. I stand amazed that you're so soon removed now to another gospel." In Acts 19:10, we're told that all they which dwelt in Asia, that's Asia province in Asia Minor, heard the word of the Lord. And a few verses farther on, we find former pagans burning their books and idols, 50,000 pieces of silver they would have cost. So mightily, it says, grew the word of God and prevailed. How greatly Paul was used of God in this province of Asia to let them see the wonders of his grace. Yet, in his last letter, 2 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 15, he writes to Timothy, "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia have turned away from me." So you see, the departure from Paul and his message of grace started in his own lifetime. And Sir Robert Anderson was right when he said that if you want to see apostasy, and if you want to see departure from the truth, and if you want to see perversion of the truth, go back to the first century immediately following the apostolic age, and you will find it. Well, that's so. The departure from Paul and his message began during his own lifetime, and the declension has continued apace ever since. Read the great majority of Bible commentaries, and you'll find many wonderful truths, but when it comes to God's message and program for today, you'll find almost nothing about the absolute distinctiveness of Paul's message and apostleship. They have the law of Moses, the Sermon on the Mount, the Great Commission, all mixed up with the great revelation committed by the glorified Lord to the Apostle Paul. They have the gospel of the kingdom confused with the gospel of the grace of God, and keep praying for the extension of thy cause and kingdom. And the messianic program, they've got that all mixed up with the body of Christ and its heavenly position. Yes, the professing church, like Israel of old, has been a failure from its beginning, the beginning of its history, until this very day. Its message is a babel of confusion. That's why so many people don't know what to believe. So don't go by the church, my friend. Go by the Bible, the Word of God, rightly divided. Now, I tried to show last week from the Scriptures how this confusion began. Paul, the chief of sinners, the leader of the world's rebellion against God, was saved by grace. And he had been sent by God to tell the Gentiles that they could be saved by free grace because Christ had died for their sin. And some of the believers at Judea, who were still very zealous of the law, became concerned and sought to bring the Galatian believers back under the law. Now notice, these were not merely Jews that rejected Christ. These were believers in Christ at Judea. They were still under the law. Christ had been under the law when he was on earth. He said, all that the Pharisees and scribes command you, you do it, because they sit in Moses' seat. They have the authority. But see what Paul says about this in Galatians 1, 6, and 7. He says, you've been removed to another gospel, which is not another. In other words, there's no contradiction between the law of Moses and between the Sermon on the Mount and Paul's epistles. Only Paul's gospel of the grace of God was a further revelation of truth, and the dispensation of the grace of God was a further revelation of his program. So the apostle says in verse 7, this is not a contradiction, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel, the good news about Christ. So he called these legalizers intruders and troublemakers. And so did the leaders at Jerusalem. Now listen very carefully. You see, the Galatian letter was written after the great council at Jerusalem, where Paul and Peter and the rest met to thresh this thing out. As Acts 15 tells us, certain men came from Judea to Antioch and told these Gentile believers that submission to circumcision and law were necessary to salvation. And it says, Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them. So Paul and some of his co-workers went to Jerusalem to talk to the leaders there about this, that is, the Christian leaders about this. Now, if you'll turn with me to the second chapter of Galatians, where Paul speaks of this. In verse 2, he says, I went up by revelation, that is, God sent me up, and I communicated unto them, that is, Peter, John, James, the leaders there, I communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. But I went privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. And do you know what the result of his private meeting with these leaders was? Verse 7 says, let me read the end of verse 6 too, Galatians 2, 6. He says, those who seemed to be somewhat in conference, they added nothing to me. They didn't tell me anything that I didn't already know. Paul, you know, was a very religious, a devoutly religious Jew, brought up at the feet of no less a rabbi than Gamaliel. So he says, they added nothing to me, but contrarywise, that is, I added something to them. When they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me as the gospel of the circumcision had been to Peter. Now verse 9, and when James, Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcision. Oh, get this clearly. hear Peter, James the Lord's brother, and John shake hands with Paul and Barnabas in a solemn, public, official agreement, agreeing that Paul was now the apostle to the nations. Remember, under the so-called Great Commission, they had been sent to all nations. But now, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, they shake hands publicly, officially, acknowledging Paul as the apostle of the Gentiles and agreeing themselves to confine their ministry to their own nation, Israel. Now, beloved, I'm not telling you this. I'm just telling you what Galatians 2 says. If you question it, by all means be a Berean. We're not asking you to believe us. Read Galatians 2, those first 9 verses, and I don't see how anything could be clearer than that the leaders of the church at Jerusalem, including Peter, James, and John, that is James the Lord's brother, officially acknowledged that now Paul was the apostle to the nations. So you see, Peter and Paul were not working at loggerheads, as some people seem to think we teach. There was perfect agreement between them. For as Galatians 2, 7 and 8 says, they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, that is, the Jewish nation, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Those men from Judea who sought to bring the Gentile believers under the law of Moses were called troublemakers by both Paul and Peter. Again, don't believe me, see what it says. Galatians 1, verse 7, it's not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And then, of course, in Acts 15, 23 and 24, let me read it to you. I'll take the time to read it. And they wrote letters. Now, this is the end of the conference at Jerusalem, the great Jerusalem council. They wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren, that is, at Jerusalem, send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. Could anything be clearer? Now, here you have them saying the same thing, don't you? Paul says it's not another gospel, it's a further development. But there be some that trouble you. And Peter and the others wrote, some went out from us, and they trouble you. Again, Paul says they would pervert the gospel of Christ. Peter says they subvert your souls. So Peter and Paul called these legalizers troublemakers. Their motive may have been good, they may have been sincere, but they ignored the further revelation given to Paul. How many there are like them today? How many there are who will not acknowledge the distinctive character of Paul's apostleship and message? They're sincere about the Word of God. They want to preach the truth, but they will not listen to that truth. They will not, they resist it. They will not see it. And it's the same today as it was then. Those whom it's law with grace, or the commission to the 11, with that later given to Paul, only cause trouble and division. If this were not so, why all the confusion in the church today? Beloved, that's because they failed to recognize the distinctive apostleship and message of Paul. And so they perverted the gospel and have subverted our souls, so that those who should be enjoying peace and joy and assurance and satisfaction as they rest in the finished work of Christ lose this blessedness and begin to doubt God's word that they're complete in Christ and made accepted in the Beloved One. This is why the next two verses by Paul pronounce a curse on those who preach any other message than he preached. We'll go into that next week, God willing, But meantime, don't hesitate to accept and proclaim the message of salvation by grace alone through faith in the finished work of Christ. Don't be hesitant to accept what God writes down for us in these epistles to the churches and to the church. Don't mix that blessed message with forms and rituals and works of the law that once were required for salvation. You say, oh, now, it's just a testimony, just a picture. Ah, but once they were required for salvation. And when you go through those rites again, what you're doing is casting reflections on the finished work of Christ. Think of Romans 4, verses 3 to 6. What saith the Scripture, asks Paul? Abraham believed God, and that was before there was any Jewish nation. That was before there was any Mosaic law. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith, his believing, is counted for righteousness. Isn't that wonderful? I didn't say that, beloved. I've just read this to you from the Word of God. Be a Berean. Check Romans 4, verses 3 to 6, and see if the apostle doesn't say exactly that. Then there's that passage at the end of Romans 4 and the beginning of Romans 5, where he says that Christ was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And a couple of verses on, farther on, he calls this grace wherein ye stand. If you believe this, if you have found this peace with God, beloved, don't let others subvert your souls by perverting the gospel of grace and confusing God's message of pure grace with the law, the Sermon on the Mount, and the so-called Great Commission. Plant your feet squarely on Pauline ground. That's the latest revelation given to us. As all these scriptures indicate, you should stand on his writings. And then, from that vantage point, study all the rest of the Bible, and it will become 100-fold more precious to you. There's no type of letter that we receive here at Berean Bible Society in greater quantity than the kind that says, how this has cleared away the confusion and dispelled the seeming contradictions that so long filled my mind about the Scriptures. Well, that can be so for you too, and if you're not saved, by all means accept the message that we've given to you from the written Word of God and the very latest revelation given to the chief of sinners saved by grace. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.